I think it's just making sure that people are excited to work with you again, because last thing you want is for a subject matter expert or, you know, a great partner that you're working with and you're doing some kind of cross promotional type stuff to like never want to do that again, you know, especially if it works well.
You're listening to Content Logistics, a podcast for B2B marketers looking to build a content engine that drives revenue. In each episode, Camille Trent interviews the marketers behind the best content marketing flywheels and uncovers the tactical aspects of content production from first draft to first customer.
Welcome to another episode of Content Logistics. I'm your host, Camille Trent, and this episode's brought to you by Tristan and Justin over at Motion. Motion is a podcasting agency for busy B2B tech marketers like myself, probably like you. So if you are looking to launch a podcast, you have a podcast, you're not happy with it, or you just think it could be a lot better, they can help make it a lot better. They will handle all of the production work for you. They will also help you with the strategy if you need help getting set up. And they will essentially make it so people can find and will want to find your podcast. So check them out if you haven't already. Today, our guest is Jess Cook. She is the head of content over at Lasso. In this episode, we walk through the first 30, 60, 90 days as a new content leader at a tech startup. Let's get into it.
Jess, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Camille. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Like we've been talking about, it's a long time coming. So what I like to do at the very beginning is just that. Where it started, how it's going, your journey, like in content marketing, right? Like what are the qualifications? Like what are the like fun things that people, quirky things like people should know like along the way to help kind of like describe like where you're coming from? So without further ado, if you want to just give us a little background.
Yeah. Okay. So how it started, I started out in my career as a junior copywriter and kind of made the move through different ad agencies up to creative director over about 15 years, and mostly worked on like consumer packaged goods brands. So a lot of like, you know, B2C type stuff. And this wasn't a time where like Twitter and LinkedIn had really just started letting brands kind of play around in their space. So, you know, things like ghostwriting tweets for Tony the Tiger or helping write copy for Rice Krispies' very first mobile website when that was like a big thing. So did that for a very long time, tons of fun. But then I kind of like there came a point, you know, I started having kids, had a family and was looking for a better work-life balance. Ad agencies are pretty notorious for like just really working their folks to the bone. And I just wanted to be done with that. And I knew I wanted to work from home. This is before COVID. So started looking for remote jobs. And like the thing that I honed in on, and this is really funny, you'll appreciate this, is like, I was like, I think content marketing feels like that's the right area. Like that's the thing I'm doing right now, isn't it? Like that's the same. And so I started looking at remote content marketing roles and got very, I realize now, lucky to land one because I didn't know what content marketing was at all. Like in my mind, that's what I was doing as a copywriter, creating social posts as like Snap, Crackle, and Pop. And I mean, they could not be further apart. So I think we're going to have some really good stuff to talk about today in terms of like things you should do in your first 90 days, things you definitely shouldn't do, because I've definitely made all of the mistakes for sure. So that was with a company called Fastly, super technical developer audience, was there for about 2 years. And that was a big company. They had just gone public. Shortly after I joined, they acquired a company. So we were close to 1,000 employees. We had a marketing department of, I want to say, nearly 50 people. So really learned some good foundational stuff there because I was able to like focus on just like content, brand content specifically. I was on the brand marketing team there. From there, made a jump to a company called Marpipe. It was a Series A startup, like very early on. And went there because they needed a head of content, first content hire. And they were creative testing software for ad creative. And it felt very tied into my background and also kind of this new skill that I had, you know, partly acquired, which was content marketing. And so that I spent a year there. That was a ton of fun being able to kind of use like the fact that I was also a subject matter expert and kind of the content head, and that was really, really amazing, built a lot of confidence there that like, okay, I know what I'm doing. But do I know what I'm doing if I'm not a subject matter expert? And that was like kind of the next challenge for me. And so my next move was to where I am now, which is Lasso. It's a software platform for the events industry. You know, I mean, you go to a concert, right? And there's 100 people who were there before you, setting up the stage, the lights, the sound, the security, all of those things. And so our software is built for the companies that do that, that kind of set up those live events, those corporate events, things like that. So definitely not a subject matter expert in that regard at all, which means I have to get really close to the customer, and we'll talk a bit about that.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's weird. Like there's lots of similarities like between our careers. Like I started out in advertising as a copywriter and like did that in college. And yeah, thought that I would be like writing commercials and like jingles for a living, and ended up in Houston, like where they are not known for their consumer brands, but they are known for their B2B tech and like their oil and gas, right? So I ended up doing like a lot of that sort of, you know, content grunt work, copywriting, but like a lot of learning like the corporate world, right? And learning sort of like B2B. And then eventually kind of like growing to love it. But in the meantime, like doing, you know, some small time like marketing work, local marketing and stuff. And yeah. And then I think we kind of met up on LinkedIn and like, yeah. Each kind of like, yeah, made our way into the startup world, I think like around the same time, like around, yeah, COVID days.
Yep.
And yeah, there's a lot of like similarities. I think I think of copywriting as like a lot of the packaging that you need like to make content marketing successful, right? But you still need the meat. Like you need like the content, you need some of those like journalism chops. And so I think like any, you know, background in English and in journalism and just doing like these types of interviews, right? Like whether it's yeah. recorded or whether it's just like getting your reps, just getting comfortable talking with people has been like the biggest skill to kind of like build to bridge those things, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into like the problem that a lot of like content marketers face in taking a new content job, right? So whether you're a copywriter who's like now jumping into content marketing, which like was the case for both of us at one point.
Yep.
Or if you are maybe like an IC that's like jumping into a head of role, or you're just like going from like corporate to like startup and just really are eager to like prove that you know what you're doing, right? And that getting people like excited about the idea of content marketing, if you're really gung-ho about it, but probably like the rest of the company like doesn't really know what it is at all. Like what are some of the like common mistakes that you see either other people make or that you've kind of like made in the past that you can now say, I know this is hard, but try and like avoid this at all costs?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think the big one is you come into a new role and like you want to make your mark, right? You have 30 days really to kind of set the tone for your time at this company. And so I think most people assume the best thing to do is like, I'm going to show them how great of a writer I am, and I'm going to jump right in and I'm going to create all this content and I'm going to blow these folks away, right? And I would say absolutely try to refrain from that, because what will happen is, you know, you are operating with zero foundation of product, customer, team dynamics, politics, like any of those things. Market fluctuations in your, you know, specific industry. And you need to really dial in and like sit down and listen for a while before you dive in and execute on anything. So that is the biggest one that I see, where especially I think I know for myself, like as someone earlier in my career, I was just really excited to show them like what I could do, right? I'm a go-getter and I want them to see that. And I think really the best thing to do is like, Don't create anything for a little while. Like really kind of put that stake in the ground that like, I'm not writing a single thing until I really sit down and start talking and listening to people.
Yeah. And to really like understand the company and what they're trying to do and how you can make an impact, like what things do you think that you need like access to, right? Like what are the first things that you're like, okay, I need X, Y, and Z, like just so I can start like absorbing, just like be a sponge. So like, yeah. What are those things like that you should be eager about?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, like get to know your team. If you have a team, if there are others on marketing, like get to know those people right away. Ask them, you know, what have we been doing that is working? That's really, you know, that's really moving the needle for us. What are we doing that just feels like a waste of time? You know, what's the strategy? Like dig into all of that, right? I think second, you really need to get access to your sales team. And if you can't get access to those folks right away, hopefully they have some sort of like call recording software where you can just right away start jumping into some sales calls, right? Like start hearing what the customer says, start understanding like why they're on that call today, right? What brought them there? Just understanding the pain points and their frustrations and like what happened the day they realized they need this solution, right? Those types of things are like right away, your team and your sales team, like start getting access to those folks and really digging in with them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think there's like the two things to break it down. What you said is like getting on those one-on-one calls with your actual team, right? To be like, this is who I am. Who are you? And we'll get into this more, but how do you like to work, right? And getting like a sense of what's their understanding of content marketing. Like you should know this coming in, what your manager expects of you, right? And hopefully like what the CEO kind of, what their gauge is, what their understanding of content marketing is. So hopefully you've done that kind of work coming into the job. But then, yeah, the rest of the team that might work in different functions, like sort of getting a sense for what do they think about content marketing? Like, what's their experience been with other content marketers in the past? Like, you can usually kind of get a sense of like if they're pro or con, and then like what needs to be bridged there. So there's that part of it. And then there's also like, okay, what's the stuff that I can do that doesn't bother anyone? Like that I can do sort of like on my own, like without being too disruptive, like to others' work too. So obviously, like I wouldn't consider any of that disruptive, right? Like it's important to get to know your team. Other people expect that too. Like even if you are like the most introverted person, like make an effort to like make all of those meetings, like just do that all up front. Do that in like the first week or two.
Yeah.
At the same time,
absolutely.
There's like the social listening part, right? There's like, okay, what are other people saying about us right now? Like there's ways that you can kind of just like scour the web, see what people are saying about you on social, see what things on the website maybe get like the most reads, right? Like just getting an understanding of like the lay of the land. And then like you mentioned, like there's the sales calls, right? Like that's like hours and hours of just like research, like on your ICP that you don't have to talk to anyone else. It gives you like actually a really good sense of like how you sell this product, right? Like what your team thinks the like unique selling point of that product is. It gives you just like a lot without having to bother people, right? So like that's kind of like the passive things that you can do too. So I don't know if I missed anything there, but that was kind of my recap on what I got.
No, I think that's great. And I think you brought up a point that made me think of one other thing, which is like that culture of content, right? Like if you come in and you're the first person or the third or the 10th, like have they built a culture around content yet? Who are your SMEs, your subject matter experts, and do they kind of understand their role in building content? Have they been brought into the process enough? Do we show people how to work with us? Like, take a look at some of that as well, because I've been to companies before where like content definitely worked in a silo, right? Where it's like we didn't bring people in as well as we could. And that was something that like once, you know, myself and a couple other people were in, it was like that was just second nature to us. It's like bring people in, show everyone how awesome they were, show them how to work with you, right? So kind of take a little temperature gauge on like, do people even know like that, you know, we need their help and we want their help and that they might potentially be an expert and not even really realize it? I think that's definitely a case for a lot of folks making a jump to a new role.
Yeah, no, I think those are great points. And right before we started recording, you were talking about like looking back through
you know, old like LinkedIn posts too about kind of like,
what were my first
30, 60, 90 days like? And you have some of that recorded, like, because you're starting to like build in public. And what I've found in doing that too is it's like, it's a good forcing function, in part because if I'm doing stupid stuff, like in the first like few weeks, like I'm going to be embarrassed to share that, right? Like, I completely wasted like this first week, right? And so like, so being not only like proactive, but just really strategic about like the types of things that you work on and like knowing that you'll be accountable in some ways by saying like, I'm going to share something, right? Like every week. And yeah, when you get to the end of the week and if you're like, oh, I don't have anything to show. I don't have anything to share. Like, that's probably a problem in that you're not learning, or you haven't at least, you know, done some of the framework stuff that maybe it's not like sexy enough to share, but you should feel like you've done something, right? Like that you're moving like the shit forward and moving it in the right direction. So I have found like the building in public piece of this can actually be a good forcing function for yourself. It also, you know, obviously helps amplify the brand. There's lots of other benefits to it, but any other benefits that you've found from doing that?
Yeah, I think it, well, one, I learned a lot from people on LinkedIn of just like, you know, hey, here, other people doing the same thing, right? Here's what I did in my first 30, 60, 90, and me being like, oh yeah, that's really smart. But I think, you know, even if you're not big on LinkedIn, building a personal brand, like that's also just a great thing to take to your boss, right? Like every Friday, like, hey, here's what I accomplished. Here's some big takeaways that I, you know, got from this week. Like, does that jive with kind of what you're feeling too? Or did I just kind of misread that, right? Like, you know, I went through this many sales calls and kind of noticed this and this, or I was speaking to somebody over on customer success and heard this and this, right? Like, give them a little summary of like what you've done this week. And heck yeah, if you're big, if you like LinkedIn and you're posting there, like definitely share that, because that will just help so many other people. But absolutely share that with your team as well. It's like, here's kind of where I'm at. Am I moving in the right direction? Like, do we need to course correct at all? Or like, am I, yeah, good. Okay, cool. I'm going to keep going then, you know? So I think that's really important in those first few months of just like a weekly, like, okay, here's what I've done and here's where I'm going and here's what I think I should do next. Like, green light, sweet, move on.
Yeah, that's a great point of the internal sharing, right? Most companies have some sort of like all hands. It's usually like a weekly thing. And so if that's not something that you regularly are asked to present in, like finding opportunities, like whether it's, you know, asking your manager or your boss of like, hey, I'd like, you know, I'm working on this project. We're at an exciting phase right now. I'd like to be able to kind of present it to the company. I think, you know, at my last company, when we had a team and kind of round robining some of those things of identifying, okay, here are kind of like our big rocks and here's the person that's working on it. They should have, you know, the opportunity to kind of present that project and sort of build that confidence there. And you see that, like, you see that development, right? And you see like how that can help your team member's career. It helps your career. You get good feedback. You get bad feedback too, right? Like, you know, I've gotten definitely feedback in the past. It's too wordy, right? Like when you assume, and this is where you realize like, oh, like people don't get content marketing, right? Like I need to back it up. And I need to just like start with the basics of like, what do they care about? Right. And oftentimes it's numbers, right? Especially, you know, if you're managing up or you're speaking to executives, but how does this matter to the business? Right. And then sort of just cut out everything else, like the details of how you got there, sort of like the SEO, like nuances, whatever. Yeah, cut that out and here's like the impact, or here's what we're hoping to do. Here's how it's going to happen, and getting those reps in. So the internal presentation, that's important.
Yeah. Something we actually did, I'm just remembering this actually, at Marpipe that I loved was after my first week, I got to sit in front of leadership and share my takeaways from the first week. Good, bad, ugly, like, and I think, and we did that with any new hire. And it was so interesting to hear, you know, someone who's essentially an objective third party who's only been with the company for a week come in and give their insights of like, hey, why do we say this on the website? Like, it's really confusing, right? And then to hear that and be like, oh, that makes so much sense to me. But clearly as someone outside, like it doesn't. We need to look at that again. So I think that's a really nice little tradition to start, which is kind of cool of just like, what does someone who's just newly embedded here really think about what we're doing and how we're saying things? And you get some really interesting insights that way.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'd love to hear like the answer to what is it that we do here? Like from every new hire, yes. Right? I'd love to hear like that perception from everyone. Cause that right there, you can at least tell like how aligned are we as a company, right? With what we think the mission is or what we think that we're doing here. Right.
For sure.
And then, yeah, hearing about it maybe from like the role level of like, what do you specifically do here? Like, how are you making an impact on that? But yeah, just from the top level, like it's fascinating to hear like what people think like the product does or like what the main goal is, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to get into a LinkedIn post that you shared pretty recently that kind of just goes over the objectives for the first 30, 60, 90. This is how I interpret it. So we'll just go through each step and we can sort of pause after each so we can dive in deeper. But these are your like objectives for the first 30, 60, 90 days of being a new content hire. And in this case, in startup land, right? So
yeah,
this episode for folks who are listening will be most useful for people who are at startups or at tech companies and coming on as like a content leader, but it should be helpful for most marketers in general. So number one, we talked about this a little bit, but show people how to work with you. And that involves like, you know, getting the company involved in content, excited about content. I think here we can talk about like how to submit like a request or an idea, like in a way that's helpful for both parties, right? So I'll just pause here and just want to dive deeper into how you think about getting this right.
Yeah. So I think to show people how to work with you, it's complex. It requires like discussion, conversations. And I think partly kind of like we talked about a little bit earlier, like this can be done in kind of an all hands or kind of a larger, like, you know, revenue team meeting or whatever makes sense within your organization. But it might require actually like sitting down and being like, first thing first, what is content? What is B2B marketing content, right? And like, why do we even do this? And then it's kind of like really opening the floor, I think, especially if you are one of the first content marketers, to make it as easy as possible for someone to come to you with an idea. And I think further down the road, as you build a really strong culture of content, you can make that a little more formalized. Hey, here's a form, right? If you have an idea, you know, what this is going to do is like, you put that idea in there, it's going to create a ticket for me in Asana, and I'm going to be able to kind of, you know, go from there. But at first, I think it's like, just flack me. If you have an idea, just come to me. I would love to hear it. We kind of figure out what shape it takes or if it's fully formed or anything like that. So I would say to start, like, just make it really easy for people. Don't intimidate them. Nothing is too crazy or, you know, too small. And you just want to make sure people feel like they can get involved if they want and they feel like they have an idea. That's really important.
Yeah, I like that. Like, and you'll know as you go, like, what's the best kind of like system of pitching. And I think that's probably the way to frame it up, because you usually don't want to promise anything, because it's your responsibility as like a content leader to work on the most important, most impactful, like,
yes,
content projects and tasks, right? And so I think, like, interestingly enough, like, some of the best like ticketing systems or like requests like that I've seen at companies like came from the like data department or like the product department, right? So they might already have something like this, right? Like, where anyone can pitch like an idea for a feature, right? Or in one case, like, you can pitch, like, I need a dashboard for this thing, right? To like the data team. And I remember they had like a very good like request, like submission form at Dooley. And one thing that stood out is you had to rate the importance and like the timeliness, right? Like, of the project too. And what's nice about that is it puts it on the person who's requesting to kind of like think as if they were you, right? Like put themselves in your shoes of like, okay, really, like how important is this, right? In terms of like timeliness of like when, you know, when I absolutely need it, but also measuring like the business impact. I remember that was a factor too of like, not only will this provide business impact, because it's easy to say yes, right? Like it's somehow like it will provide some business impact. But when you have to describe it of like, okay, great. Like what's the business impact? Like how is this going to, you know, impact the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
And once you get to that, then you start to be like, oh, maybe I'll change the importance level like a little bit as you're going through it, right? So thinking through kind of some of the more like technical departments maybe like in your company and how they've already kind of refined the system, right? Because the IT gets all sorts of requests, right? Like product gets all sorts of requests. Like what are those departments that get all sorts of requests? And they've probably whittled down the process a little bit. There's probably some good things that you can borrow from them in terms of like how you can kind of like set up that ticketing process. But I like what you said of like just keeping it simple at first. And to tack onto that, it's like, how do people collaborate right now? And if it's through Slack, like maybe it's, okay, if I were to try and find the data team to submit a ticket, I would probably look for like a data channel. Probably going to be the same for content, right? Like create a content
channel.
Pin it to that channel, right? So you can easily like find the link to the form. So yeah, you just kind of learn some of these things as you go, but it's like, if I were this person, like, how would I go about looking for, you know, for the form? Like, where would I start?
Yeah.
And just start there, right? In terms of creating that form.
And I think you bring up a really good point, because in my mind, I was kind of leaning toward, like, I'm someone in the, you know, someone in the company has a big story that they think I could use for thought leadership or an interesting campaign, right? And I think you just made me realize, like, really, there's two routes here. Because if someone has a big story like that, I my preference is, like, just come straight to me. I want to hear all the juicy details. Let's talk about it. If there's some sort of, like, I think I specifically need a 2-page PDF with this information and this, you know, this kind of, for this product by this date, like, yes, totally agree. That feels like a wholly separate system of, like, a request and, like, triage and figuring out what, yeah, exactly, like what's important. But I think in my mind, I always go to like, ooh, someone has a story and I want all the meaty details right away. So just come to me, you know, that's kind of where I go.
Yeah, no, I think there are two different types of requests, right? Like there is kind of like the, you don't know what you want, but like you have something interesting to say kind of a thing. I think there's something like that. And then, yeah, there's like the more like formal requests of like, yeah, we need like a 2-page sales enablement PDF for this thing. And even then, I remember my former boss, like Tracy Wallace, shared this like a while back about when she gets those requests in, like it's kind of your responsibility as the content leader to triage them, to go through them and to look for duplicates, right? Like, because there could be something where it's, okay, this person might need a sales enablement version of something. This person needs something on the website, but really they're the same thing.
Yeah.
So can we bundle those things and just produce two different formats of it? Right. Could that be the same writer that works on that? Cause it'd be like the same marketer. Right. And how can we minimize like the effort here to create that thing? So there's that part of it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Okay. So I think we've gone deep here. So I'm going to move to number two. The number two is demonstrate the power of good content. So how do you think about that? Like within a team, how do you prove content is worthwhile?
Yeah. So this part's all about putting a spotlight on your work, which I think sometimes people find weird. It feels like, oh, I feel weird being like, look, this awesome piece we made, right? Especially if like you wrote it. I don't know. It feels like braggy to some people. But I think what I've tried to like help people realize is that is part of your job. Like that's the reporting end of it, right? Like we created this thing, it did awesome. It brought in all these, you know, people to this event, or, you know, got this many downloads, or had this awesome conversion rate, whatever the case may be. And then I think in the same vein as kind of that first step of like showing people how to work with you is like, make sure you acknowledge, you know, your subject matter expert that helped you with that piece, because you want people to see like, oh, their contributions really mattered. Like next time I have an idea, I am going to go to them with it because it makes a difference. So I think that's a really, really big deal. I don't really want to get too much into like what metrics you should look at. I think that's so different for every like brand and company, and depends on your go-to-market and like all the things that you're working on, right? But like, I think you'll have to kind of figure out based on business goals and team goals, like what is important, and make sure that you're keeping tabs on those things. And when you do a piece of content that really like checks all the boxes on those KPIs that are important to you, like make sure you make that known to leadership and to your subject matter experts. Like, hey, you know, so-and-so from engineering really made a huge difference when they came and talked to us about, you know, how we're building the product, and, you know, look what it did. So, you know, make sure that if you ever have any ideas like this, like, please, like, come see us. It moves the needle.
Yeah. I like that. And I think you mentioned this in your post, because reporting, like, we think about it as like dashboards and numbers, but it's just as much like the storytelling aspect of it too, right? That we mentioned in like sharing a story in the presentation that's in like the all hands. And sometimes that just looks like, here are some comments that people left on a post, right? Here's some feedback like on the newsletter, right? Here's some feedback on the podcast. And so those are just as important, like if not more important than some of those numbers, right? Because they tell you like how important it is to someone, or why it helps them, right? Like those individual stories that you don't get through just like the raw numbers. Pairing that storytelling like with the reporting, or having like those things be combined, the qualitative and quantitative, just like make sure you kind of like check both those boxes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then last thing I want to say on this too, because it really depends, like those numbers are going to depend based on your business, all of that. But I think, just like you said, the culture of content, which I love, culture of like attribution to some degree, right? Yeah. And so if you make that company wide, right, like then it's less on you to like try to measure like every piece of content, which then just becomes like this lead gen like thing, right, where it's like, okay, we have to gate everything so that we can like prove that somebody read it, we can like prove that there are eyeballs on it, we can prove they exchanged an email, all of that. But if you talk with those other departments, this is why it's so important to like get to know growth marketing, get to know sales, all of those, then like you're more comfortable going to them and asking like, hey, can you ask? And maybe at first it's like a smaller ask. It's not everyone. Maybe it's for the types of accounts that we really want, that we really care about. Can you ask them like how they heard about us, right? Like find out like what's working there, right? And how can we replicate like the best type of accounts, right?
Yes.
Doing that at the sales level. And then, with growth too, it's like, okay, what parts of the funnel are they measuring? And like, how can I prove that content is part of that ecosystem, right? And how can I talk to that through like reporting and storytelling? So it's really like both of those things. Like, how do I prove that content eventually helps through like the bottom of funnel too, or helps people get down to bottom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Okay. So talked about, demonstrating the power of good content. Number three is make partners and SMEs look like rock stars. So why is this important, and how can you put those kind of like two personas in the spotlight?
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's really important, because just like when, you know, brands make their customers look like rock stars, they come back. Right. And I think that's the thing. I, as a marketer, I need my SMEs and, you know, maybe even customers who really love my brand to be return customers to me as a marketer. So I want them to feel very good about the process. I want to make the lift very light on them. I don't want to take a ton of their time, just enough that, you know, I can get the story and, you know, get it down on paper, or, you know, sit and record a conversation with them. That's, you know, give me enough meat to work with that I can repurpose it for a few months and I don't have to go back to them for a while, right? So make the lift light, and to like really like sprinkle them with like love afterwards, right? Like, oh my gosh, has everyone seen this video series that, you know, whoever put together with us? Like, they did a great job. We're going to use it in social. We're going to do it in all these ways, right? And then same thing kind of like we just talked about after it's live and in the wild, like, how did it perform? Hey, these videos that, you know, we created with, you know, the folks in CS, like, they did really well. And here's kind of the numbers and here's the comments we're seeing and like the feedback we're getting. So I think it's just making sure that people are excited to work with you again, because last thing you want is for, you know, a subject matter expert or, you know, a great partner that you're working with and you're doing some kind of cross promotional type stuff to like never want to do that again, you know, especially if it works well.
Yeah, I think about like flywheels, like the is the word that like keeps coming to mind, right? Like we think about that in context of acquisition. And like founders love that word, right? Like, how can we get that? How can we get that acquisition flywheel going, right? Like, how can we just have like continuous sales is like really what that means, or just like this like continuous machine. Like, we love the idea of systems. But then there's, you know, there's the internal systems too, right? Of this thing that worked really well, or this subject matter expert that really knows what they're talking about, or these partners that have a very similar audience, not competitive, right? If that worked well once and you already have that relationship with them, it's easier to continue to work with those people, right, than to get new ones. We obviously want to, like, you know, build your partnerships, build your you know, list of subject matter experts, but you want to like retain sort of your internal champions too, if you think about it that way. Like, sales is obsessed with like, how can I get more referrals, right, out of our customers, our champions. It's like the same thing with content, right? Like, how do I make these people the hero in the content, right? Like, they're really the people that know what they're talking about. So I used to say a lot that it's just about a lot of content and just elevating those subject matter experts and elevating those partners, because they're really the people that know what they're talking about. You mentioned moving from a company like where you were the subject matter expert to a company where you weren't. And that really is like a great forcing function to kind of like learn the skill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you have to lean into those folks as much as possible. And it's really just incumbent on you to tell the story.
Yeah. And when you do, like when it's a win-win, like they're just more likely to shout you out or to refer you, because you are elevating them too, right? Like, whether it's their personal brand or like the brand that they work for too, like it should feel like a win-win. And this is why like well-executed webinars, I think, work well, because they are, it's co-marketing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was at Fastly, you know, and that was such a big company, it was hard to know who was the expert on something. You really had to like talk to a few people before you could be like, who is the person I should talk to about this, right? And so after being there a while, it was really nice that like, I had a handful of people that I knew I could go to, and then they started telling their people like, hey, that's a great idea. You need to go talk to Jess about that, right? So now I'm getting like, I'm using air quotes, inbound leads on content stories. And that is like, man, that is gold right there. Like, when you put the work up front to get people to know who you are, how you work, you make them feel good about it. They want to come back, and then they send others, like, you got it made.
Nice. Yeah, no, perfect. Okay, so we went through the three things, and now there's like the logistics of mapping this out to make it feel like less stressful for people too, right? Like, I need to accomplish all these things in a quarter. Yeah. But really, like, what should you aim to complete, or like aim to accomplish, like within maybe like the first month? How do you think of like that first month, second month,
three? Yeah. Okay. First month is, I'm going to give you three things you have to do and one thing you absolutely should not do. Okay. Three things you need to do. Customer research, like get your arms around that as much as possible. Sales calls, talk to the sales team, jump into Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups or, you know, industry publications that they read and hang out in, right? Get your arms around the product is number two, like talk to your product team. Sit in on a real demo, play around with it yourself if you're able to get into like a test environment. Like, really understand what makes us different. What kind of points of value that do we have that no one else does? what are kind of the things that like people, the two or three features that people get like really excited about in the demo? Because we want to talk about that a lot, right? So really understand the product so that you can, you know, write about it effectively. And then third is like, really get a good handle on the current content landscape. What is working? What is not? Are there a couple blog posts that like, you know, like the 80-20 rule, right? 20% of the blog posts do 80% of the driving to booking a demo or starting a free trial, right? Like figure out what those are and why. Where are the gaps? What haven't we talked about? Now that you've talked to, you've listened to some customers and you've figured out the product, like what hasn't been addressed in the content that's there that maybe stands out to you? So I think those three things are really important. And I think the one thing that maybe you notice I did not say, we talked about this at the top of the show, is like, don't write anything. Like, don't give into that temptation. It's not necessary. Like, really do your research first. So I think that is really big for those first 30 days, listening and not writing or creating.
Wow, I loved that. And just taking some notes. So yeah, that's just like a great way to kind of break it down for folks to be like, these are the must-do things, right? Like if you have some time in there, like I am a believer in like some quick wins, right? If you can get those in. But as far as like thinking strategically, thinking big picture, that should be number one priority. And I think thinking about those sort of like one or two things that you can do every month and making sure that that happens first.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Nice. Okay. So to wrap this up, this is called Content Logistics. So we'll go through kind of like some of those like logistics and what I would call like content onboarding. So I've talked a little bit about this, I think, at the front end of this podcast, but want to kind of go through like a basic checklist of what do you need when you come into a company to be successful, right? So like,
yeah,
first kind of like follow-up question here is just like, what do you need access to, right? Because we're assuming like this is remote work, right? Like this is tech. So like, what do you need access to do your job?
Yeah. First and foremost, communication with the team. Like, are we on Slack? Are we on Teams, right? Like really figuring that out. And I think CRM, like, can I get access to the CRM system? I've been places where like, I never once touched the CRM. And I can tell you what, that is such a huge inhibitor. I felt like I was flying blind. And it's great to be close to sales and go off of the insights they deliver you, but it's really nice to see the numbers behind that. And so I think, you know, if you can give your content marketing folks insight into that, it's just going to make your marketing that much more powerful. I think that's really like the big one to me. Obviously, like Google Analytics, you know, whatever you're doing your email through, like anything that's just going to help you kind of see behind the scenes, like what's going well and what's not. Those are the big ones to me. And then obviously we already talked about like sales calls, recordings. Like if there's like a, you know, top hits list of like, these are the best, you know, 10 sales calls to listen to. That's always a great place to kind of dig into as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the big ones. I think like the one other one I might add is project management, right? Like
if they
already have some sort of project management in place, like sometimes it's been about, is this going to work like for the content team? And it's trying to like work with what you have first of like, I almost think about it as like taking inventory of like, what's the tech stack that we have right now?
Yes.
And like what content capabilities exist there? And is that like the most efficient way for us to work, like given our budget and given like our stage of company? Or like, do we need something better to be able to, you know, accomplish whatever the content goals are?
Actually, you said one more that I just thought of too, the budget. Like understand like what are we working with? You know, what do I have at my disposal if I need, you know, some help on execution or, you know, someone to kind of take some stuff off my plate? I think that's a big one as well.
Yeah. And I think it depends on your team, right? Like what internal resources do we have? Like we talked about the tech, but there's like the people resources, right? So is there anyone else on the content team? I guess is the first question to ask yourself. And then if not, like, is there a budget for contractors, right? Whether that's like for some of the production work or if it's, you know, if you're heavy on blogs, like, do you have a budget for contractors that way? So you're kind of assessing your tech stack and your resources there, but also like,
your people resources. And if there aren't more people on the content team, it's also, how am I going to work with the rest of the marketing team? Like, what are their priorities? What are their like specialties too? Because it could be that like the product marketer like writes all of the product blogs, right? Or is in charge of the website. So kind of like figuring out who's responsible for what their specialties are, where there's going to be some like cross-pollination there.
Definitely.
All right. So tech, yeah, people resources. We already talked about measurement and like, you know, that building that culture of attribution. So I think we can skip that. I talked about budget in terms of tech. So that's pretty much it in terms of like, the basic like logistics. So I like to close by talking about like what advice, if somebody listened to this whole thing, you want them to take away one thing or like maybe one blunder to avoid, like what advice would you give new content hires when taking on a new job and just like being over eager maybe to like crush those first 90 days?
Yeah, I would say use the excuse for those first 30, 60, 90 days of being the new person and ask the dumb questions. Like, you are totally allowed to ask, like, what does this acronym mean? And like, what is this thing? And how does this work? And when you say this, what is like that mean around here? Because it might, you know, lingo means something different everywhere. And I think like, don't be afraid to ask, like, can you clarify this for me? Like, this is kind of what I'm thinking I should be doing. Like, does that feel right to you? Don't be afraid to ask that. I have a really ridiculous story about this, which is, I'm at Fastly. I've literally never held a content marketing job before, never written a blog post before, to be honest. And my boss asked me to take, these were her instructions, take this white paper and turn it into a blog. And I was like, yeah, boss, no problem. Copy paste the text, drop it into our blog template and turn it in, right? And she was like, what is this? And, you know, so it's like, Oh, that means something different. I'm not, right? So it's kind of like, just really ask, like, okay, what does that mean to you? Like, what, yeah. I just want to make sure like I have my kind of ducks in a row before I really get started, right? So don't be afraid to play that card of like, I'm new and I'm not sure I understand and I just want to make sure. Totally fine.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that came to mind with that. Oh, you're good. Like, it's uncomfortable to feel like you're doing nothing, especially if you're an action oriented person.
Yeah.
Right? So be at peace, like with that discomfort and like, yeah, put in some of like the foundational work, or else like there's a very good chance like you will be embarrassed later on.
Yeah.
And this has happened to me. I think like every company I'm usually like, I try and be proactive about, you know, like learning the specifics of the product and stuff, but it doesn't always require or make sense, like, you know, for you to have like a login, like if you're not the user. So like there can be some limitations to this. But yeah, if I think you have it slated for like month two, right? Of like really learning the product, learning the best features, right? So at least have the understanding of it so that when you are like 6 months, a year in, you don't have to ask like a very basic question of like, wait, does our product do this?
Yeah.
And you're like a year in, they're like, don't know that our product does.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really uncomfortable conversation to have, or like a way to expose yourself. So I think you bring up a good point there of, yeah, doing that foundational work early and, yeah, being okay with, yeah, using the excuse of I'm new here. And then the second part of this was clarifying expectations, right?
Yeah.
And so that this goes for your higher ups, it goes for the people that you work with every day that might be on your team, and then maybe some of the other departments like that you'll rub shoulders with as well. So like, what do they think content marketing is? What does your team think the content marketing is? Yeah, what does your manager and his manager think that the goal of content marketing is, and what the approach is? And again, very important to do this like before you take on the job, or else those expectations are misaligned and that could end poorly. But internally, just making sure you're on the same page with everyone. So I love that. I love that advice. It's a great way to wrap up. Where can people find you?
I am very avid on LinkedIn. There are probably tons of Jess Cooks, but I'm the only one at Lasso. So you can find me there. I'm on Threads, which has been kind of a fun little adventure. If you're into Threads, I'm at that Jess Cook there. And I also have a podcast that I host with my good marketing bestie, Susan Winograd, and it's called That's Marketing Baby. We're on hiatus right now. We took a break for the summer with the kids at home and everything, but we're getting back to it in the fall. And we actually just launched a newsletter. So you can find us. You can find us on LinkedIn, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff.
Nice. I love the like season like approach like to podcast. It just like becomes like a TV show or like a series.
Yeah.
Of, like you look forward to it. And yeah, I have a 4-year-old, and so it's been interesting hearing from coworkers of like, how are you doing like the summer thing? Like telling me about all the camps and things and like how that works and stuff. So I have a full year or so before I need to worry about that. But yeah, thank you for coming on. This has been like a great conversation, and I've learned some things about what you do differently, like what I do differently, maybe like the next time. But really, like, it's never too late, right?
Oh.
If you never truly like dug into, you know, the product, like I feel that this could be something that people are listening to, like, do I understand the product? Like, do I actually know? Like, have you created a login yet? Like, now's the day. Like, now's the day to create
that
login. This is the sign. Yeah. So thank you again, Jess, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me, Camille. It was a blast.
Thanks for listening to Content Logistics. This episode is produced by Motion, a done-for-you B2B podcasting agency for busy marketers. If you liked what you heard, please follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.